Going on this morning. It is church time. Danielle's right. So glad to have all of you here this morning. Welcome you to our worship service. I'm on in my pocket. I know that. It says green. Isn't technology wonderful? Good morning, all of you. Welcome you to our worship service this morning. And this on the fourth Sunday of Advent, which is like amazing because I just can't even imagine where the season of Advent has gone. But we're winding it up. Christmas Eve is just a couple of days away. So if you don't have the Christmas stuff done, you need to get it done, okay? That's a warning to you. Welcome all of our online people as well this morning. So glad to have you with us as we go through this day. So today's worship service is typical, with the addition of the March to the Manger offering, that is at the end of the service, and the manger will be placed here. And, you know, we're fortunate enough this year to have like a live baby, so that's going to be really exciting. And looking forward to that with Mary and Joseph. And so we're excited about that. If you are new or visiting with us this morning, if you'd like to participate just in the movement by the manger, that's wonderful. If you want to give a gift to the offering, that's fine too, but there's no expectation of that. on our part for you this morning. Let's begin this morning by singing together our gathering chorus, which we have been singing through the season of Advent, number 204, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. I invite you to stand as you are able this morning and join in singing this opening chorus.
Presence and our church family at home. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, the only announcement coming up, of course, is our candlelight Christmas Eve service on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. And I would note no set office hours this week. That means I get to see Esther. We'll begin our service now with the prelude and the lighting of worship candles. For those of you at home, if you have a candle at your home and you'd like to light that candle with us to celebrate the light of Christ there with you. Worship this morning is a special video entitled The Thread of Christmas. Please enjoy. We'll now begin the continuation of our service with the lighting of our Advent wreaths. I'll be reading each section, and after that, the congregation will respond, O come, Emmanuel. We light this candle as a symbol of Christ, our hope. May the light sent from God shine in the darkness to show us the way of salvation.
O come, Emmanuel.
We light this candle as a symbol of Christ, the way. May the word sent from God through the prophets lead us to the way of salvation.
O come, Emmanuel.
We light this candle as a symbol of Christ, our joy. And may the joyful promise of your presence, O God, make us rejoice in our hope of salvation.
O come, Emmanuel.
We light this candle as a symbol of the Prince of Peace. May the visitation of your Holy Spirit, O God, make us ready for the coming of Jesus, our hope and joy.
O come, Emmanuel.
Jesus Christ is the light of the world, a light no darkness can extinguish. Our opening hymn, number 230, O Little Town of Bethlehem, verses 1, 3, and 4. Please stand if you are able.
Continue this morning by seeking God's guidance and direction individually and as a congregation, for those of you who may be visiting with us, this is something we do almost every Sunday, and it's something we've been doing for years. We just spend a little bit of time on Sunday morning just seeking God's guidance and direction for our congregation. We do that by singing an opening chorus or a gathering chorus or a chorus as we focus ourselves together. I sing praises to the Lord. Last week, as we were doing this together, I was talking about some important decisions that were coming up for our church and for the leadership of our church. We've had those meetings, we made some of those decisions, and you'll be hearing more about that as we move along with that. You know, I just want to take this morning and just thank God for the opportunity to be here and to be in service, but also the opportunity for us as a church and for the guidance and direction God has given us throughout this year. So I'm going to invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Eternal and loving God, you have answered our prayer over and over again. Show us the way, and you've shown us the way. We've shown us ways, Lord, around old things that we have done to bring renewal to them, Lord. And you have shown us new paths, Lord, that we have never been on before. Things that you want us to step on down, things you want us to do, Lord. And so, Lord, one more time, God, we just pray what we have so often prayed, that you would show us the difference, Lord, between doing something that is foolish, between doing something that is our own will, our own desire, our own thoughts, our own ambitions, Lord, and that you would allow us, Lord, to surrender those things and to let go of them. That our will, Lord, personally, that our will as a church would be always to be in the very center of your will for us, that we might know your blessings through that, and that we, Lord, might know your presence in the midst of it. So, Lord, thank you for guiding and directing. And we anticipate, Lord, your continued presence. In your name we pray. Amen. I invite our prayer reader to make their way up this morning as they share the joys and concerns of our congregation this morning.
Please remember to respond with, Lord, hear our prayers after each joy and concern. We'll start with a joy. This is from the children of Norma Johnson. He said, we can't tell you enough how much we appreciate the dinner you provided after our mother's funeral. Your kindness and hospitality provided the comfort we needed at just the right time. Lord, hear our prayers. We have a concern and a joy from Larry Padgett. Larry asked for prayers for a possible surgery he may be needing in order to get rid of his catheter, but his treatments have now put his cure rate at 30 to 50%, so that was good. A concern from Arthur Mize, his Aunt Ruth Mize, hospice has been called in for her, and they're managing her care currently. We have a joy from John Streeter. His sister-in-law, Becky Streeter, is home. She's doing well, and she'll get a PET scan in 30 days.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Diane Wallace has a concern for a friend and a former coworker named Kelly. Kelly tested positive for Lyme disease and alpha-gal this week, and then on Friday she lost her dad.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Alita has a joy. Her family was in minus one grandson. They were all together.
Lord,
we have a joy from Phil and Louise Gillespie. They want to thank all the people of the congregation who helped them, welcome them, kindness and a smile. We appreciate it.
Lord, hear our prayers.
As is our custom on Sunday morning, I invite you to be in prayer in your pew during this time. But if you would like to, feel free to come and join me at the altar this morning to play a little bit of music and create a little transition time. You're welcome to come and to join me here to kneel with me at the altar this morning as others do. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Gracious and loving God, there's just always kind of an excitement in the air, Lord, as we find ourselves in these last few days before we celebrate Christmas. Lord, many of us have been preparing weeks, sometimes months, Lord, for this holiday. We anticipate, Lord, the gathering many times of families and friends, the celebrations that go along with it, Lord. And we give you thanks for that. And Lord, we remember this morning as well those who will find this holiday to be a source of pain. That there will be a person who is gone this year. That there may be no one to join with in terms of celebration. That the resources necessary to make this holiday special weren't available this year. There are so many reasons, Lord, that people find the season tough, hard to get through. And so, Lord, we lift them up to you. That the birth of the Christ child that we celebrate in so many different ways, Lord, can be just a simple awareness, God. That you didn't come into the world to create a national holiday. You came into the world, Lord, to bring a very simple message. The love of God for each and every one of us. And so may that be what we all hear, Lord. May that be what we celebrate at the very core. That out of your love for us and the world, you sent your Son. And so, Lord, we recognize that today. And again, give you thanks and praise. Lord, may the joy of the season build in our hearts and our lives. And may the light of it be what we share, Lord, in the world. God, hear our prayers as we raise them to you this morning. Hear our prayers, Lord, for those who need to be remembered in our prayers. We think of those, Lord, who are fighting injury or recovering from injury or fighting illness or just struggling, God. May they find comfort, God. May they find hope in the message of hope of the season. Lord, hear our prayers as we offer them to you. And hear our prayer, Lord, as we come together, God, praying together the prayer that you have taught us, Lord, to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn this morning is hymn number 224, Good Christian Friends Rejoice. You may remain seated as we sing. Hymn number 224, lyrics will be on the screen. Let us be in prayer as we celebrate the giving of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, for the many gifts that are given, Lord, in such a wide variety of ways, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, so many of the gifts that we have come from a variety of different ways, and yet, Lord, the one gift that is so precious is the gift of our time. And so, Lord, we pray this morning for that gift and the others that go with us as well as we share our gifts, our talents, our resources with your church and with you and your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen. It's time for our special music this morning as our choir gathers to share, "Do You Hear What I Hear?"
Thank you.
And thanks to our choir, they are small in numbers, but they are mighty in voice. Our scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Pew Bible on page 92, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 4 in the New International Version. The people walking in darkness had seen a great light. On those living in the land of the deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. May the Lord bless the message.
You're going to have to allow me a moment of personal privilege this morning. And camera people, I'm going to step out of the camera for just a second. But there's a baby over here I didn't get to see before the service started. Oh, my goodness. Look at that. Oh, how are you, girl? You doing all right? You fine? Olivia, the mother, was in a confirmation class I taught a few years ago. And so thank you for that. Hey, I have been looking at songs through this entire Advent season. And the theme has been the songs of the season. And so we've looked at a lot of different songs, a lot of different things. So we're looking this morning at the song the choir just sang, actually. And so they just sang it, so you should be able to answer a few of these very simple questions. So what's the first question in the song? Do you? No. Yeah, it's a quick question, kind of, isn't it? The first question is, do you see? Do you see what I see? And who asked the question? The night wind. Ask who? The little lamb. Yeah, the little lamb. The night wind to the little lamb. Do you see what I see? And what do they see? A star. A star with a tail as big as a kite. Yeah. So, what's next? What's the next question? Do you hear? There, we finally get to the right one. Huh? Do you hear what I hear? Yeah. Who asked the question? The little lamb. Ask who? The shepherd boy, that's right. Do you hear what I hear? And what is it that the little lamb hears? A song. A song high above the trees. Yeah. So you're catching on now. What's the next question? Do you know what I know? That's right. So who asked the question? The little shepherd boy. Ask it to the mighty king, the mighty king. Do you know what I know? And what does the shepherd boy know? A child shivers in the cold. Yeah. So what question does the king ask? That's a trick question. The king doesn't ask a question. The king makes a proclamation, okay? The mighty king. Listen to what I say. Listen to what I say. A child sleeping in the night. And what will the child do? Bring us goodness and light. Bring us goodness and light. The scripture lesson this morning out of Isaiah ties in here with this whole idea of light. That the Christ child will bring light into the world. Isaiah's reading, or Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah's words here are some of my favorite. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those who live in a deep darkness, on them has the light shine or the light dawned, depending on what translation you're looking at. What does that mean? You know, I think there's a couple of ways to take that. And one of them is, quite literally, darkness, which means it's not light. And a light comes on, like a light. And so it makes it easier to see. And you know how, if you've ever been, I mean, as I get older, I need more and more light all the time to see to do anything. You know, I'm constantly walking around with a flashlight trying to see what's going on. And so, I mean, adding a little light in a situation where you're frustrated by the darkness is just amazing. But we have a different understanding of that too. Have you ever said, let me shed some light on that for you? And that probably doesn't mean that you're going to go get a flashlight or a candle or something. It means, let me share information with you about that. Let me add knowledge to you about that. And as I read that text, that's what I understand that the prophet is saying to the people. It's not that they lived without light, that the sun had gone out. It was that they lived without understanding. That there was knowledge they needed that they didn't have. There was something they needed to know that they didn't know. That they lived in ignorance of something that was important for them to know and to understand. And what Isaiah is sharing with us is that they learn it. All of a sudden the lights come on. All of a sudden they understand. All of a sudden they realize what's happening. And that information, that knowledge is so wonderful, it is so important, it is so amazing that he goes on to talk about the celebration that follows it. They rejoice as people who rejoice at the harvest. They rejoice as the good news that they have heard and received. For they were in darkness. But they understand the light. And that understanding brings them hope. And they needed hope. They needed hope. In the song, Do You Hear What I Hear? We have a night wind talking to a lamb. Yeah, that doesn't happen. Okay. We have a lamb talking to a shepherd boy. And if it's anything more than blah, blah, then, you know, that doesn't happen either. They don't ask questions of each other. The shepherd boy is never going to get an audience with the king and say, hey, do you know something? I know something you don't know. Yeah, that's not going to happen. So what's going on in the song then? And what's the idea that he will bring us goodness and light? When I listen to the song, and I love that song, I hear a larger question being asked in the song, and that it becomes, the song becomes a metaphor, like Isaiah's metaphor about darkness and light. It becomes a larger question, kind of to me a divine question of asking, do you see what I see in the world? Do you hear what I hear in the world? Do you know what it is I'm trying to tell you in the world? So do you? If God is asking that question of you, do you see the world as I see the world? Do you hear the world as I hear the world? Do you know what it is I want to share? Do you know the message that I want to give? And you're all probably thinking, well, what's the right answer here? I don't know. The answer is sometimes, yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, here in just a little bit, when we do the March to the Manger, we're celebrating three local missions. One of them is a mission that came together from a group of ladies. And Evelyn Fuquay was one. Michelle Parker Clark, who is part of the Murfreesboro staff at that church, was another. And they saw families that were financially insecure. And they had children, babies, and they couldn't care for them. Not the way they wanted to, not adequately. And so they said, we need to do something about that. They heard the cry of babies who needed a diaper changed. But it couldn't be changed because there was no diaper to replace that diaper with. And they heard the cry of that baby. And they said, we need to do something about that. And so they started a ministry, which again this year will hand out over 30,000 diapers and wipes and lotion and all the kind of stuff that goes along with taking care of a little one's behind. And that's their ministry. It's a ministry that's because they saw the world. They heard it. And they knew something to do in response to it. A few weeks ago, I shared a really touching story about a little girl that showed up in one of our schools wearing filthy clothes, had a filthy body, and filthy hair. And how we made a difference in that situation. Put yourself in that child's place for just a moment. Can you imagine adults sending you to school, to a public school, and you go there knowing that your clothes are filthy? And there's nothing you can do about it. You just have to go. You go there knowing that your body is filthy, and you probably smell, and there's nothing you can do about it. You just have to go. You go knowing that your hair is filthy, and you have no way to address that situation, no way to change that on your own. You just have to go. And what do you know when you go? You know what's going to happen, don't you? Nobody's going to want to be around you. Nobody's going to want to play with you. Nobody's going to want to interact with you. Why? Because you're filthy. And they're not. And you're going to have to suffer the humiliation of that. Some of us heard that cry of that child. We saw the need of children like that. And a ministry was formed out of that hearing and out of that seeing to do something so that a person could come here at our church, pick up the resources they need to give them a new wardrobe, to give them the hygiene products, and the next day they show up clean, they show up with clean clothes, they show up with a clean body, they show up with a clean hair. And that humiliation is taken away, and they could just be a little girl again. And have a halfway decent chance at school and making friends and being who they can be. You know, a number of years ago, and it's been, I don't have no idea when, there were a group of people who saw that some of the families in the area are food insecure. The children, as they went to school during the week, they had breakfast and they had lunch. But over the weekend, they may not have anything. I remember when Teresa was director of the Head Start program for the lower seven counties of Southern Illinois. Talked about how the teachers and the staff prepared more food on Friday and Monday. So they fed those kids all they wanted on Friday. And they would come hungry on Monday because they wouldn't eat over the weekend. Breaks your heart. It just breaks your heart. We can't fix all of that, but this group of people said, you know what? We will learn how to package something and send home with kids so they can have something simple to eat. These ministries aren't perfect ministries. They all have problems. Every one of these ministries probably gets taken advantage of by people. But you know what, folks? That's not on us. That's on them. If people take advantage of the generosity and kindness of other people, then that's on them. That's not on us. Unless we use that as an excuse not to do something, and then that is on us. We live in a world where God simply asks us the question, do you see the world the way I see it? Do you hear what I hear? Do you see the brokenness? Do you see the hurt? Do you hear the cries? Do you know something that might be able to make a difference? And if you do, are you willing to do that? As we celebrate this wonderful season of the year, and as we celebrate this amazing song, for me, it asks me a question, and it makes a challenge to my life about who I will be as a person in the world in which I live. For I have seen that light. I know that knowledge. I have that understanding. And many of you do as well. And it calls us to see the world as God sees the world and to know the world. You know, in Matthew 25, there's this wonderful group of parables. One of them is the sheep and the goats. And that's the one where Jesus says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was a prisoner and you visited me. I was sick and you took care of me. You know, in that litany, there was never, you went to church on Sunday. That's not a part of that litany. You built a building for me and for a congregation. That's not a part of that litany. That is a litany about service, about what we do with our lives. And the criteria for being a sheep rather than a goat is how you and I respond to that. We need to remember that. That the number one action of the church as we gather for worship is that we go out into the world to see and to hear and to know from the perspective of God, and to let the world know who we are and whose we are. Would you pray with me? Almighty and gracious God, thank you for this wonderful season, God. Thank you for all the music of it and all the lyrics and all of the messages that are in that, that speak to us, Lord, in wonderful and powerful ways. Thank you, God, for being present with us this morning. And as we receive this offering, Lord, this morning, may this offering bless the world and those who receive it, God. And Lord, we just pray this in your holy name. Amen. We're going to take just a moment and set up for the March to the Manger. Then we will sing together, O Come All Ye Faithful. The ushers will direct you this morning for coming up for the offering. I doubt that Mary had a folding chair, but we'll just let that go, okay? I invite us to stand as we are able this morning and join in, O Come All Ye Faithful. Nothing as sweet as a sleeping baby. Would you pray with me, Almighty and gracious God, for the gift of this season, for the gift of your child, for all that is in it, Lord, offer your blessing upon us, God. Help us to go out into the world as those who know something, that there is a light, Lord. It helps us see in the darkness, but it also gives us understanding. May we share that light with others, Lord, that the world may know and see the goodness of this day and of your Son and of the message of hope and love and grace. Send us, Lord, out into the world to be your light, your salt, your yeast. In your name we pray. Amen. Folks, hope you all have a great Christmas. If I don't see you before that, remember Christmas Eve here at 7 o'clock.